Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Are you afraid of flying? Tell me, do you start whining when you go to the airport? Are airports your worst nightmare? They are mine. Can you remember when people actually got dressed up to go on a flight? When was the last time you heard about someone wanting to attack a TSA agent? Tell me, do you know what the top 10 things are that people whine about when flying? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that you're looking for? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. I am pleased to announce that our show today is featured on the front page at Blog Talk Radio. I am honored to be a featured host, and we now have over 600,000 fabulous listeners. Today I will be sharing a chapter from my book, Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment. It was a number one bestseller at Amazon.com. My book is based on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about. Today we'll talk about flying without whining. You know, I was the first one in my family to ever fly in an airplane. And not too many of them, besides me, have done it to this day, coded as they are with the whining about flying DNA glitch. My grandma always said that if God had wanted her to fly, he would have given her wings, and she truly meant it. This wisdom applied to driving for her, too. She wasn't born with tires attached to her legs, so she wasn't about to ride in a car. Despite my DNA terror, I flew to Miami on Eastern Airlines long, long ago for an interview to become an airline stewardess. I experienced such an incredible adrenaline rush on takeoff that I was barely able to breathe, let alone talk. In the air, I was thrilled to be defying the law of gravity. The landing was a cinch, since by then not only had I somewhat acclimated, but I had been able to drink enough wine to get down without screaming or making a scene. Long story short, I was hired, but too proud to admit I couldn't fly without whining. Actually, I was so desperate to escape my boring life that having to fly wasn't enough to stop me. Doing that job, I simply couldn't whine on pain of dismissal. So I just smiled through my troubles. Despite my continuing terror, I really wanted to be a stewardess in the worst way, and sometimes I certainly was. You know, I do have my own theory about how airplanes work. When I am on a plane during takeoff and lift my toes upward, the plane will lift off without any problems. I don't know if not lifting my toes might cause a crash because I have never, ever not done it. I confess that this is not an original theory, but rather one that was passed on to me early in my career. Upon the announcement of landing, one only needs to reverse the process and point the toes downward, and the plane will touch down with comforting, fluid grace. You know, as for being a passenger these days, what's not to whine about? Especially now with increased security, longer delays, and an alarming trend for lost baggage. Fortunately, there's no more whining about the poor quality of airline food, since actual food is no longer served to those in coach. As Wolfgang Puck once said, to me, an airplane is a great place to diet. You know, David Letterman said, when you think about flying, it's really, really nuts. Here you are at 40,000 feet, screaming along at 700 miles an hour, and you're sitting there drinking a Diet Pepsi and eating peanuts. It just doesn't make sense. I agree with David. Now, the top 10 whines about flying that were that we got from my survey start out with number 1, airports, number 2, reservations, number 3, increased security, number 4, lost bags, number 5, jet lag, number 6, big crowds, small seats, number 7, crying babies, number 8, turbulence, 9, flight delays, and as David Letterman would say, number 10, food or the lack of it. George Winters told us, if God had really intended men to fly, he would have made it easier to get to the airport. Our number one whine, airports. Unfortunately, airports have become our worst nightmare. They are too crowded, too confusing, too big, and too frustrating for the average traveler. They are whining heaven for the constant complainer. It all begins going downhill when you try to find a parking place or, God forbid, attempt to wait in the arrivals lane for more than 2 seconds without security chasing you off. And then there are those loud, obnoxious announcements that hound you from all sides when you're going through the airport. The red-eye cure for airports is a brutal but effective way of dealing with impossible airports, especially for sound sleepers. Red-eye flights depart after midnight when all sensible people are at home asleep, and they arrive in the early hours the next day. Red-eye flyers are easy to spot because their eyes are bleary and their clothes look like they've been slept in, because they have. On the other hand, they always display a serene calm for having tried to sleep on a flight while their eyes were busy getting red. The number two whine is reservations. As Mel Brooks said, if God had meant man to fly, he would have given us tickets. You know, when you try to make reservations with an airline, it is like navigating a minefield of technology. And the people who are there as a last resort to help you with it are even less customer-friendly. As soon as your call goes through, you are put on hold, and then your problems begin. Endlessly circling in a telephone holding pattern, you wait so long that you forget where you are or what you want. The worst part is that you'll never speak to a real person. And, you know, it's just not fun whining to a machine. The Express Easy Check-In e-Ticket Cure is a new innovation that has made flying almost bearable. It is quick, easy, and enjoyable. And once you have gone through the initial learning curve, and though it isn't quite instant and doesn't always exactly involve the human touch, it is far less time-consuming than booking airline reservations on the phone with voices that sound only vaguely like real people. With most flights, you can even print out boarding passes 24 hours before your flight, thus avoiding all human interaction. until you have to deal with those fine professionals at security, which is the subject of our next why. As M. McLaughlin told us, whenever we land safely in a plane, we promise God a little something. And I feel that way whenever I go through security. Sadly, ever since 9/11, increased airport security measures in the name of preventing terrorism have made traveling by air a dreaded ordeal. We now have to endure long lines waiting while pretending that we aren't mentally profiling everyone else in our line. It creates an atmosphere of distrust and disgust. The stripping down and shedding of our outerwear is demanding and demeaning. As for shoes, who can remember to wear slip-ons? I never do, until I find myself undoing my tie-ons in an unflattering position. The check everything cure is just a Band-Aid for getting through security. By everything, I mean you have to check everything except your ID and ticket. This is the only chance you have to zip through security, unscaled by suspicion and humility. And even that is not a given if you have a foreign accent, forget to take off your sunglasses, or just have one of those faces. You know, I thought about going through nude, but that I suppose that would be seen as a protest of some kind. My objective is purely convenience-orientated. Besides, I wouldn't want to repulse staff or fellow travelers, or God forbid, put the idea of a cavity search in anyone's head. And now that I've had a knee replacement, it's always x-ray time for me. Our number four whine is lost baggage. Mark Russell once said, "The scientific theory I like best about lost baggage is that the rings of Saturn are composed entirely of lost airline bags." You know, as soon as people find out you're an airline-type person, all they want to talk about are their lost bags. It's as if they think you could do something about it or that you even care. Lost bags are the universal complaint that does not discriminate against any class of flyer. Whether you fly first class or economy, known to flight attendants is low or no class. Your bags are all treated equally without the slightest care in the world. The carry-on bags only cure works for me. It is the only way to make sure that you don't end up waiting at the lost claims counter. There, the officials pretend that they really care, but they don't. To them, one lost bag is just like any other. If they've seen one, they've seen them all, except for your bag. Do not, under any circumstance, when you are checking in, hassle your check-in. To do so could mean that while you are flying to Los Angeles, your bags could be going to London. Trust me, it happens. And don't forget to pack all your explosive perfume and toiletries in that soon-to-be-lost bag, as you are no longer allowed to carry on such dangerous items. The number five whine is jet lag. As Vice President Al Gore once said, "Airplane travel is nature's way of making you look like your passport photo." Everyone knows that traveling through time zones create a feeling of displacement that we have come to call jet lag. But few of us are ready for the natural irritability it breeds or the dehydrating and depressing physical effects that come with it. Ready or not, though, jet lag is one of those unavoidable annoyances of air travel. It causes a lot of whining, and no one ever seems to have any good advice about how to cure it. If you can swing it, the extra day cure works best. This should be easy for leisure travelers. Simply plan on an extra day at each end of your trip to consist of nothing but getting over your jet lag. Whatever comfort means to you, that's what this day is for. Stay in bed, watch TV, take a nap, fall asleep watching a foreign movie with no subtitles, or sit in the park, people watching until your eyes glaze over. The possibilities are endless when you have no plans. However, if you are a business traveler, on the other hand, willing to withstand jet lag for profit, plan on taking power naps, moisturizers, plenty of water, and a well-timed cocktail or two that will have to get you through your jet lag. The number six wine is big crowds, small seats. As Sherlock Holmes said, elementary, my dear Watson, elementary. Yep, it's true. More and more people are flying, which means more and more passengers are being squeezed on more and more planes with smaller and smaller seats. It's very simple when you think about it, but that doesn't stop it from being frustrating. Only contortionists can accommodate the fold-down tables nowadays, and good luck negotiating which one of you is going to get the armrests. Lack of space is also another way airlines stop us from whining about their lack of food service, since even the smallest meal will make husky and slim people alike feel too big for their cramped quarters. My favorite cure is the dress for comfort cure that we see so often now. It is one that many of us from early generations still can't get used to. We had mothers that dressed us up before boarding a plane, as if we were going to meet the president. But the days of looking sharp while flying have sadly gone by the wayside, along with legroom, headspace, and three-course meals. Now, the only way to stay comfortable in downscale seats of today's packed planes is to make sure your clothes won't bind or discomfort you in any way. Throw your vanity out the window and fly in your jammies if you dare, but at least slip into something more comfortable. Aren't sweatsuits great? Now let's take a break and hear something about your host, and then we'll come back with the rest of the top 10 things that people whine about with flying.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back. This is January Jones sharing with you my top 10 list of the things that people whine about when flying. Number 7 on the list is crying babies. Robert Benchley tells us, in America, there are two classes of travel, first class and travel with children. It is one of the laws of airline travel that you will always be near the crying baby or the kids kicking the back of your seat. Do you think it's because the airlines know that this will bother you more than any other passenger, and they're doing it just to get your goat? I certainly do. They want everyone to have something special to complain about, so they won't turn their attentions towards the crowded planes, small seats, lack of food, or bad service. The cure? I advocate that you ask for a new seat right from the start. If you are serious about your peace, both inner and outer, it is worth the risk of being thought of as a child hater. The parents will get over it, and even if they don't, who cares? They're the ones stuck with the crying brat. Your bravery will bear itself out when you see that. By the end of the flight, everyone else will wish they had done the same thing. If the obnoxious kid's making everyone's already trying flight all the more miserable that happened to be yours, then you just pretend you don't know them. The number eight wine is turbulence. George Carlin tells us, if a black box survives air crashes, why don't they make the whole plane out of that stuff? You know, turbulence is God's way of reminding you to say your prayers and start living the way you promised you would during the last terrifying time you thought you were going to go down in an airplane. As a former flight attendant, I can safely say that turbulence can happen out of the blue, no matter how great the pilot is. The only thing that can be predicted about turbulence is that when it occurs, the coffee your flight attendants are rushing through the aisles to serve you, hot and strong, they are serving, and it will certainly spill all over you. My favorite cure, and there are all sorts of cure for turbulence besides saying your prayers, I have tried them all, and my favorite one is the pass-out cure. You can accomplish this by taking sleeping pills or getting drunk. I recommend the pills because they are quiet and painless. You know, getting drunk can be loud and obnoxious, and you run the risk of a horrid hangover to go along with your jet lag. Nobody likes a drunk, but they all will admire someone who can calmly doze through chaos, commotion, or, God forbid, a free fall in the air. Our number eight wine is flight delay. As Dave Barry tells us, hell, which every frequent traveler knows, is Concourse D at O'Hare Airport in Chicago. By the way, for those of you who have never been there, there is no Concourse D at O'Hare Airport. Delays are caused by events that are beyond anyone's control, especially the airlines. Or at least that's what they want you to think. It's either too many passengers, not enough planes or crews, unreliable mechanics, or an always convenient natural disaster, all of which you're sure are perfectly good excuses. But that doesn't change the fact that you're going to miss wherever you're going to and that you're bored out of your head. My favorite cure is to think about the fact that it's better than being in prison. Is the only one that seems to work in this situation. When stuck in a windowless, overcrowded airport with bad food, bad light, stale air, and horrible acoustics, I always think about how much more panicked, bored, fatigued, and restless I would feel if I were behind bars. Not that I've ever done anything that remotely come close to landing me in the slammer, but, you know, it's the only place I can think of that would be worse than being stuck in an airport on an extended layover. Putting this in perspective will allow you to go with the flow and weather your wasted time like a real pro. Our last wine, number 10, is food, or the lack of it. As Dick DePew tells us, the most dangerous thing about flying is the risk of starving to death. Ever since all airlines decided to declare bankruptcy, there has been little or no food service offered on most flights, at least in coach. In short, your would-be meals are now paying for upper management's golden parachutes. This may be good news in that the average traveler no longer has to deal with the poor quality of airplane food. But as bad as they were, somehow I miss those cute little trays of beef or chicken covered in the mystery sauce with their hard-as-rack dinner rolls, overcooked vegetables, and doll-sized desserts. These days, we're lucky if the flight attendants throw us peanuts. The food kiosk here is a new and exciting food option at all airports these days. After you get to the airport for your mandatory 2 to 3 hour check-in and then through security, you can take your time selecting your own carry-on grub, supply from any number of suppliers that provide everything from greasy fast food to fresh fruit, sandwiches, and salads. You will pay prices double what you would pay in the outside world, But since you can't bring fresh food through security, this expense falls under the category of just desserts for hungry and deserving travelers. Well, now that I've shared the top 10 things that people whine about while flying, it's time for me to share the best overall remedy for whining while flying. It's called the chocolate cure. I have been a chocolate addict for over 50 years. It has been my passion, and I have been blissfully spent countless hours researching and tasting chocolate. Because I am a woman, I can also be an expert on a lot of things, chocolate included. Women have known forever that chocolate makes them feel better. Our bodies crave it, and it has been doing medicinal duty ever since Eve found the first cocoa bean in the Garden of Eden, and you thought it was an apple. And now modern science is validating this fact. This is wonderful news, and I intend to spread the word. Chocolate is not the problem. It is the solution. Aside from helping with my flying fears, it has been the solution to many other problems in my life. It has improved my blood flow, delayed the growth of gray hair, and has helped me get better at Sudoku. Chocolate will even reduce violence. I used to have to continually stop myself from yelling at my husband or kicking the dog before it became one of my major food groups. In any case, my husband can't hear anymore, and the dog is gone. As for coming out of the chocolate closet, it didn't happen overnight. One day at a time, I really had to work the step-by-step recovery program. I had to give up trying to quit and then surrender to admitting chocolate is a healthy habit. Once I did this, I wanted to know more about my best friend and former addiction. I even interviewed Curtis Stone, the Austrian lad, one of people's sexiest men of the year, praising organic chocolate. And then thanks to John Schaffenberg, the famous and well-respected Schaffenberger chocolate maker, I have adopted a new mantra. Chocolate is the new broccoli. John explained to me that chocolate can be the ultimate health food, and if he's comfortable with that, aren't you? Chocolate is not a quick cure for whining. It's not only a quick cure for whining about flying and other things, but it also provides guilt-free gratification without any expiration date. Experts agree with me that it can cure anything. And it may even increase your sexual appetite. You know, hot chocolate and Viagra are said to work wonders together. It's truly a healthy and comforting tonic for all situations in all ages. But like I said, it took me a long time to go from low-esteem chocolate addict to confident chocolate lover. I have gone public as an example to my grandchildren who are just discovering chocolate. And now, whenever I fly, I pack 2 bars of chocolate to take with me on the plane. I have those with me in case something terrible should happen and the plane goes down. And before it goes down, I intend to put those chocolate bars in my mouth so that even if we crash and die, I will die happy eating chocolate. Believe a reformed whiner when it comes to this indispensable cure. If you consume chocolate daily, then you will be a cool, calm, collected character. Even when soaring through the atmosphere in a flammable hunk of metal at 600 miles per hour, trying not to be whining about flying. I want to thank you so much for sharing this program with me. I hope you've enjoyed our show today. And be sure to catch all my interviews and our amazing guests with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com 24/7. If you've enjoyed the show, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener. We love sharing our stories and secrets for success. And remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. And you can even fly without whining. So for now, dear listeners, stop whining, start smiling, and start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey. and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.